So the Old Testament reading is taken from Exodus chapter 20, all of one verse, verse 12, very important verse. Honor your father and your mother, so that you may live long in the land that the Lord your God is giving you. And now we move to the New Testament, and we're in Matthew chapter 15, verses 1 through to 9, which can be found on page 982 in the Church Bibles. Then some Pharisees and teachers of the law came to Jesus from Jerusalem and asked, "Why do your disciples break the tradition of the elders? They don't wash their hands before they eat." Jesus replied, "And why do you break the command of God for the sake of your tradition? For God said, 'Honor your father and mother,' and anyone who curses his father or mother must be put to death. But you say that if a man says to his father or mother, 'Whatever help you might otherwise have received from me as a gift devoted to God,' he is not to honor his father with it. Thus you nullify the word of God for the sake of your tradition, you hypocrites. Isaiah was right when he prophesied about you. 'These people honor me with their lips, but their hearts are far from me. They worship me in vain. Their teachings are but rules taught by men.'" This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
Thank you so much, Debbie. Gosh, I can hear my voice. It's the new system. It's fantastic. Thank you very much for standing in there. And it's lovely to be here this evening. Shall we pray? Heavenly Father, I thank you for your word. And Lord, I just ask you that you open our hearts and our ears to you now. And Father, you know that we are all in such different places and come with such different perspectives and experiences in terms of what we've heard, Lord. And I pray that you'll just speak to us each individually. And Lord, through your message tonight, I pray that you'll just equip each one of us to shine your light and your love in all aspects of our life. In Jesus' name, I pray this. Amen. Honor thy father and mother. I must admit, it was until a few years ago, I hadn't really thought about this. And it was in New Wine when I first actually really heard those words. And I must admit that this is a challenging commandment to talk about, because depending on your age and your experience and what stage of life you are in, there are so many dimensions in how this commandment can apply. But I think what I must reiterate first and foremost is that whenever we come to these Ten Commandments, we must never forget the most significant truth about the Ten Commandments is that God was doing the speaking. These are not words conjured up by Moses up a mountain. They are the words of God. And we must never forget that truth. And no matter how difficult and challenging it is, we must take heed, because we can't pick and choose these, which I think makes it really challenging when we have just heard these words in Matthew. And particularly in verse 4, Jesus saying this, "For God said, 'Honor your father and mother,' and anyone who curses their father or mother is to be put to death." I mean, that's pretty clear, isn't it? These are strong words coming out of the mouth of Jesus. There is no grey area. And I've got to say, it takes my breath away, because as someone with an 88-year-old mother, I think of the responsibilities that I have. But also when I think how much I've cursed her in my life, and she's cursed me, I hasten to add, and how much I've criticised her, I dishonoured my mother. I feel ashamed. But it is so black and white, isn't it? In fact, in 1 Timothy 5, verse 8, it says this, "Anyone who doesn't take care of his own relatives when they need help, especially his own family, has no right to say he is a Christian. Such a person is worse than an unbeliever. I mean, that's pretty strong stuff, isn't it? And I think our call to honour our parents is a real challenge in the 21st century as well. You know, we live in a society where we all know families who are fragmenting, who are breaking, and it's at a really alarming rate. Even in the States, and you youth that are here, kids can divorce their parents. But watch out, parents will soon be able to actually sue you for mental health issues or something. It'll come. So there are a few questions I want to consider this evening. Is why did God give us this commandment? I mean, he only gave 10. Why did this one make the list? The second question is this: how are we practically called to honour our parents? And when both the parents and children, i.e. many of us here this evening, are adults and independent, so what does that mean? But also thirdly, I think we need to consider, what about those who have been so abused, so badly treated or abandoned by parents? What is God asking them to do in these situations? But I also want to clarify one thing here as well. There will be people within our church family who don't have parents alive, who don't have children or siblings. And so this commandment might feel really irrelevant to you this evening. But the Bible says that the church is a family. It's going to last longer than your physical family. In terms of eternity, it's far more important. And when I first became a Christian, I used to hear this language of church family, spiritual brothers and sisters, and I thought it was all a bit jargony and a bit weird, really, when somebody said, call me my spiritual sister in Christ. And I thought, what? But, you know, over the years, I have come to know at a deeply personal level that this church is my family, my spiritual family. And people, other than my husband and my children, people in this church know the real me and what matters most to me. And they accept me for who I am. And I mean all my weaknesses, all my warts and my irritations, better than any of my relations. I find security here, I find stability here, I find comfort and care in this family that I don't find anywhere else. And this church is where I and we have spiritual mothers, fathers, brothers and sisters. In 1 Timothy 5, verses 2 to 4, it says this: in your church, treat younger men as brothers, the older women as mothers, and younger women as sisters. We are called to show the same honour and godliness to our spiritual family as our own blood relations. We are called to care for those spiritual parents who have no one else to care for them, and that really pleases God. So please be aware of who our spiritual fathers and mothers are, because these passages and what we're talking about tonight apply to all our spiritual mothers and fathers as well as our physical ones. Do you know, I get quite emotional when I talk about my church family. So why has God given us this commandment? Because sometimes your parents do things that drive you absolutely mad. Really mad, don't they? And I'm not sure whether I was going to share this story, but actually as your family, I will. And I'm sorry to any members of my family who are here this evening. So Minorca, about 12 years ago, we decided to take my mother on holiday. Yeah, see, some of them know the family. They know the story. Take my mother on holiday to a lovely villa. We had a pool. We really splashed out. And it was a balmy evening. We'd had a lovely meal. It was around about 11 o'clock, midnight-ish. Kids, so everybody's gone to bed. And Dave and I are sitting there. And we look at each other and we go, skinny dip in the pool? And we go, yeah. So into the pool we dive, swimming through the pool. And then suddenly, behind us, there's the sound of a splash and a third person swimming alongside us. My mother. What a lovely idea for a swim, she said. It can sometimes be very difficult to honour your parents. So why has God given us this commandment? I think, first of all, he knows there are no perfect parents. At a very basic level, remember, we wouldn't be alive without them. And we all have weaknesses. Gosh, do we have weaknesses and faults. And yes, some more severe than others. And only God is the perfect parent. We have all sinned. Or to put it another way, I'm dysfunctional, you're dysfunctional. None of us are perfect parents. We are not the perfect son or daughter either. And we are not the superior offspring of Superman and Wonder Woman. And therefore, God is saying clearly to us, I know your parents are not perfect, but we need to honour them. And why? Because, you know, to get by in this world, respect for authority in many diverse areas, but respect for authority is absolutely critical and can actually only begin at home. And this is a lesson that children have to learn, because it will determine how well you're going to cope at school, in your career, and in relationships. The child and the adult who grows up saying, "Nobody tells me what to do, nobody tells me what to do," is going to have a really hard time in life, and particularly keeping a job. And there's a lot of times in life where you have to do what somebody tells you to do, or react and respond appropriately, whether you want to or not. And God knows this. He has put parents, therefore, in a position of authority over us at an early age. But of course, you know, a word to parents: if we want to be honoured, we need to be honourable. Do you know, I was listening as I was thinking of this week, my poor son, he got out of bed, came into the kitchen, I'm sitting there, and I think within 6 minutes I had five goes at him. Five goes. Nothing loving came out of my mouth in those first 6 minutes. We need to ensure that we are honourable and don't keep on scolding and nagging our children. We need to learn the art of loving discipline. But I think another reason God has given us this command is because he knows that how we relate to our parents will affect every other relationship. Without a doubt, it's a major forming factor in your life, because your style of relating to others is absolutely set at home. How we listen to each other, how we speak to each other, how we respect each other, how we respond to each other. These are all basic fundamental boundaries that need to be set at home. And I think many relationships have been ruined or severely affected because of dysfunctional relationships with parents. And God knows that. But I also think that God has given us this commandment because he knows the pain it causes when this commandment isn't applied. Do you know, for many people, and I'm including our spiritual parents in this church, growing older is difficult. You know, and I'm going to be there in X years to come. And the older people get, I think, in the 21st century, it does feel, and I hear people say, they get less respect. The reality is close friends who have affirmed them and supported them and loved them through their life start to die. They're no longer wanted in the marketplace because of skills, with their skills. If they have children, their grown children are busy with their own families. And yet, as parents and as people, we have this great need to feel affirmed and to feel acknowledged and to feel that we exist. And yet the reality is as well, the paradox is this: as you get older, you start seeing the faults of your parents. You start seeing their hang-ups, the chinks in the armor. So how do you show honor when you disagree with the advice they give? How do you show honor when they live far away or when they live next door? How do you show honor when you get married and you're dealing with juggling your children, your spouse, the in-laws, or your spouse doesn't get on with the in-laws? How do you honour them when their views and comments are so judgmental or racist or bigoted and so far away from your views? How do you honour them in these situations? Because it's difficult. And God knows that, which is why he's given us this commandment. I've talked to two elderly parents recently about what made them feel honoured and what didn't. And this is what they said. "As an 88-year-old mother, it's been 63 years that I have thought about my children every single day, and I wonder how they are and what they're doing. And it hurts me so much," she said, "when my son doesn't seem to give me an afterthought, to give me a quick ring or just say hello. And the worst thing is when your kids treat you as if you've got nothing of value to offer. And yet I used to be a matron, run the 4 clinical wards, and yet I feel meaningless and worthless." Somebody else said, "We aren't perfect, but we do have some insight, and we really are just trying to help. Just have that acknowledged, even if it's not listened to, goes a long way." And yet the themes that emerge constantly from these conversations and a few articles I've read recently is that parents don't want their children to be constantly available or to be their best friends. But they do just want to know that they're accepted, that they're listened to, and that they have a voice. And it's the small acts and words of acknowledgement, these are the ones that were mentioned most of all as being the most significant way they felt honoured. And of course, life is busy, and these relationships are so complex, but Jesus allows none of these excuses for a failure of us to honour our parents. But he knows the pain and the heartache. So how are we practically called to honour our parents? What does that actually look like in practice? I think we absolutely have to accept them for who they are, in spite of their weaknesses. I heard a young lad say back recently, "Why should I choose to accept my parents? I didn't have a choice. I'm stuck with them." Well, neither did they, because they're stuck with you as well. And therefore, as you're stuck with each other, acceptance is so vital and actually makes life so much easier. But acceptance does not mean pretending that they were perfect. It doesn't mean ignoring their mistakes. It doesn't mean agreeing with what they did or agreeing with everything they've asked you to do. But it does mean some simple things such as listening. Proverbs 23 verse 22 says this, "Listen to your father who gave you your life and do not despise your mother." We need to pay them the honor of listening to them, even if we disagree with them. And we can disagree with them without patronizing or belittling them or being disagreeable. And of course, for some of us, acceptance includes forgiveness. You know, if there's one thing that I'm learning on my Christian journey, grace and forgiveness is our absolute foundation. Absolute foundation. Because the fact of life is this, we often hurt those we love the most, intentionally or unintentionally. If you live together as a family for any length of time, you're going to be hurt by the people in your family. And I've met a number of people over the years who have sadly perhaps been estranged from their parents. And they've said to me, "I've no relations with my mother or father, and I don't care." And you know what? I don't believe them. I just don't believe them because I think they care deeply and hurt deeply. And therefore, families must be built on forgiveness because we hurt each other. And if we don't forgive as God commands us, then that lack of forgiveness, I know I've mentioned before, it's like this disease eating away inside us, keeping us awake at night, making us resentful. I talked in July on the line in the Creed that we as Christians, we believe and we stand by this. I believe in the forgiveness of sins. It's our foundation. I believe in the forgiveness of sins. We pray the Lord's Prayer, "Forgive us our sins as we forgive others who sin against us." We need to forgive in order that we could be in right relationship with God. But God knows that when we don't forgive, we will hurt. And so therefore, us forgiving our parents is for our benefit, because that's the key to us being healed, released, free to love and receive God's love. So what about when they get old? This is a challenging one for me. This is a real challenge because life expectancy, wonderfully for us all, or scarily, is much longer and it brings massive challenges. You know, people are hitting their own retirement and becoming carers for their elderly parents. And there's this bit of a shameful tragedy in our society for so many social reasons where we are fragmented. We have families who've had to move away to find work. They're busy working, and they've got no time for the elderly, and when the elderly need them most. And I've got to say, I put myself into that bracket. I live 200 miles from my mother. And yet the Bible teaches when your parents or your grandparents become too old to care for themselves, it's not the government's responsibility, it's ours. This challenges me. And this is the cycle of family. As time passes, the roles reverse. Where at one point in life, they fed us, they bathed us, they cared for us and took care of us. And the roles now reverse. And we've got to stop and think about this. Because, you know, I remember as a little girl, helping my mum. It was the most natural thing in the world. Helping my mum get my nan out of bed, changing her, dressing her, feeding her. It's what we did. And yet I hear people saying now, "Well, it's not my responsibility." As Christians, I don't think we can say that. But also, I would say, if my mum can't look after herself, does that mean she comes to live with me? I think we'd kill each other. I think we would murder each other. And I don't know how any of this is going to work out. But what I do know is that I've got to honour my mother, and I've got a responsibility to make sure she is cared for in a way that honours her. And I think she's particularly scared about me caring for her after my attempt last Christmas to insist that she had a wheelchair when she came up to stay with me. Now, I've got to say, my mother wasn't convinced. She can't walk very far. And I thought, wouldn't it just be a great idea to get her in a wheelchair, we can go down to Reigate. I had this vision, down to Reigate, High Street, coffee, cake, do in the park, the whole thing. My daughter wasn't convinced either. She said, Mum, not too sure about this. I said, no, off to the Belfry I went. I got this fantastic wheelchair. I've got to say, shop mobility in the Belfry are superb. I come home, I say, my mother arrives from Wales, bless her. We get her up the steps. I say, Mum, da-da! And she looks at me and goes, what? Am I going to go in that? I said, Mum, it's going to be great. And poor thing, after a four-hour journey from Wales, I let her have a cup of tea. And I said, let's try it. Let's go and trial it. And you could see, she goes, oh, let's just keep her quiet. So we get her back down the steps, get her in the wheelchair. And my daughter had already said, Mum, it hasn't got a seatbelt. I said, we don't need seatbelts. I said, we go in round the block. I live on the top of Chart Lane. As soon as I start, and my heart goes out for people who are in wheelchairs, who have to push wheelchairs. As soon as I started going along Chart Lane, you suddenly realise the pavements, it's just so difficult. And then I turn around, I'm pushing her up Chart Lane towards Belmont Road. I could hardly breathe. But then finally we get into Belmont Road and I think, great. And we are now pacing along Belmont Road and I'm just thinking, this is going to transform this visit. And then suddenly we hit a pothole. The wheelchair stops. My mother shoots out of the wheelchair. She is now face down on the pavement and I am just horrified. I go round to her, she's shaking. I look at her, my mother is laughing. She is absolutely hysterical. Thankfully, can I say thank God, nothing was broken, nothing was cut. I'm now trying to pick her up like this to try and get her back into the wheelchair. I haven't put the brakes in the wheelchair because I don't know how to use one. I'm picking her up, we don't do it because I slip. So I'm now on top of my mother and I'm now laughing. And you know, your bladders don't work well as you get older either. It was an awful scene. And luckily this man in Belmont Road came out and picked her up and put her back in the wheelchair. We didn't use the wheelchair again. But anyway, so I'm just slightly diverted. So caring, you know, but seriously, on a serious note, whether we consider our parents honourable or not, God couldn't be clearer. God could not be clearer. Even on the cross, Jesus, the saviour of the world, dying in pain for our sins, one of the seven last things he said on the cross was about his mother and about taking care of her. In the middle of these hugely important things, in John 19, Jesus says to John, John, here is your mother. Mother, behold your son. John, take care of my mum. Jesus was transferring care of his mum to his best friend. It was that important. While he's dying for the world, he does not forget to provide for the care of his mother. Jesus modelled this whilst dying on the cross, and that takes my breath away. But lastly, do you know, it's easier to honour your father and mother when they are good, godly people, and I've been so lucky to have wonderful parents. But the last thing we do need to consider is, what about those of us who have been abused or abandoned or badly treated by our parents? What's our response to that? Because honouring our parents is a painful message when you've been deeply hurt, when your parents have let you down so much, when they've been abusive or manipulative or neglectful, when they've completely devastated your own life through their actions. What is God telling us to do then? Are you supposed to ignore the pain? Put on a happy face and pretend everything is great? Is God asking you to gloss over it, deny the pain, to repress it, to move on? No, he's not. Do you know, God's heart bleeds for you, and the Bible promises severe judgment on such abuse and neglect. In Matthew 18, verse 6, it says this, if anyone causes one of these little ones, those who believe in me, to stumble, it would be better for them to have a large millstone hung around their neck and to be drowned in the depths of the sea. That's how serious God takes it. God knows the pain you feel and he cares, but he can help you overcome that pain. God does not expect you to make yourself vulnerable to hurtful behavior. And sometimes appropriate boundaries between children, adults, and abusive parents are completely necessary. But the need for that boundary does not free us from the obligation of honouring our parents. And therefore, for your sake, for your healing, it does involve your forgiveness of them. And God can bring wonderful transformation if you let him do it. In Psalm 27, verse 10, it says, "Though my father and mother forsake me, the Lord will care for me." If you are alone, regardless of your circumstances, for whatever reason you are alone, you have a heavenly father, and he's the perfect parent, and he loves you unconditionally. He will never leave you, he will never forsake you, and he wants you in his family. He loves you more than you will ever realize. Amen.